This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi there, listeners. You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. And tonight we are going to be talking to a very regular guest of not this show, but of Joy. And that's Fiona Patton, who is the Sex Party MLC in the Victorian upper house in the Legislative Council here. And Fiona's had an interesting life. She was a co-founder of the Scarlet Alliance, who I first came across when I was General Manager of the AIDS Council and when I lived in Grey Street, St Kilda, and I used to have to deal with those girls a lot.
The PCV, they were a tough mob.
And my 15-year-old daughter used to go out and rescue their children and take them into my apartment until she went down to PCV and said, "Why don't you set up a childcare centre?" And so, you know, we've been around the same traps for a long time. So welcome, Fiona. You're now a member of Parliament, and you are the former leader of the Sex Party, I believe.
Currently. No,
are you? Or are you back as the leader?
God, I hope there's not some newsflash that I've missed while I've been walking down here. No, last I heard, I was still the leader.
You are the leader.
Yeah. Yep.
And congratulations on being elected.
Thank you. Maybe re-elected to the leadership. I didn't, you know, something happened this
week. Well, I mean, there's only one member of Parliament, isn't there, for the Sex Party? Well, so you can vote for yourself and you're pretty much there.
That's right. My caucus is pretty much me putting my lipstick on in the morning.
Do you ask yourself in the mirror, what am I going to do?
I sometimes do, actually. I think it's worthwhile debating, is that really the right course, Fiona, today? Quite often, so is that really...
What would Jesus do? You ask yourself that question?
You know, I never, ever ask that question.
Well, that's a bit funny, isn't it?
The Australian Sex Party grew out of the Scarlet Alliance originally, didn't it, in the early 90s?
Well, no, not really. No, it's... I think because I've been doing so many different things, it all moulds into one thing for everyone. So I just to correct you, I wasn't the founder of Scarlet, but I was the president of the Scarlet Alliance for a period, and I ran Workers in Sex Employment, which was a member organisation of Scarlet. Right. And I did that for many years, then founded the Eros Association, which was a bigger trade association. And from that, the Sex Party was born. Right. But obviously, we've had lots of Scarlet Alliance members and board members as candidates for the Sex Party. So there's a lot of simpatico between us.
Okay. How many candidates did you stand in the last state election?
In the last state election, we were very judicious about where we stood. And so we stood in all of the upper house seats. And
you need to do that to make some money, don't you?
And realistically, that's where smaller parties like ourselves have an opportunity to get elected. The lower house seats, that's a much bigger challenge. But sometimes you need to run in some of those seats to help your upper house vote or, you know, frankly, help your negotiations with some of the major parties like the Greens or Labor or the Liberal Party.
Fiona, we're interested in talking with you tonight regarding the euthanasia changes that are proposed. Yes. I think the Greens introduced the push back in April, and then just last month the Labor Party was involved in a sort of a joint motion with you, weren't they? Can you fill us in on that?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a domino effect, and all credit to Greens' Colleen Hartland, who got behind this probably 6 years ago. She then introduced a motion into our House to move voluntary euthanasia to a law reform commission inquiry. And that wasn't supported by the Legislative Council, which was disappointing.
Was that at the time of the Napthon or Baillieu government? Or
no, that was just in April.
That was recent.
So it wasn't supported. So the day after it was lost, I put up another motion to say, all right, let's not look at voluntary euthanasia. Let's look at end-of-life choices. And let's look at everything being part of a toolbox and looking at the whole range of things and put that up. And then that dominoed onto the government, who said, all right, we will support that motion if you refer it to a different committee. So they put up another motion, which was exactly the same as mine, except going to another committee. So now we do have an inquiry that has received extra resources from the government.
And is it a Legislative Council committee?
It is.
Not the Law Reform Commission?
No, not the Law Reform Commission. And in some ways I think that's quite appropriate, that it actually still sits within Parliament. Now, I understand a Law Reform Commission inquiry, there's that sense that it's one step removed from Parliament. But a lot of people actually think it shouldn't be one step removed from Parliament.
It's a moral issue that should be debated by the elected members of Parliament.
That's correct. And I think taking it down that path of a toolbox of issues, whether it's palliative care, advanced directives, or, you know, assisted dying in whatever way that might be, I think it's a more holistic way. And for all the people who are anti-euthanasia, I suspect this, we bring them along probably 80% of the way. And in fact, the DLP, the Democratic Labor Party, which is strongly anti-voluntary euthanasia, supported this motion.
Mm. Well, it's a good thing because you can actually talk about palliative care and all sorts of things like that, can't you? And advanced directives, which have been long-term in Victoria and I think now in most states of Australia. But we're going to get into this in more meaty detail later. But you can be part of this discussion by emailing us on air at joy.org.au. Email us with a question. We already have one question that one of our regular listeners has sent to us on our Facebook page. Or you can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, or you can ring Robert on the front desk. Robert is sitting on the front desk. He's bored out of his brain. It's cold. He's wrapped up in a coat. So call him and ask him to write down a question on the back of an envelope, and he can run it in here and give it to us while we're on air. So
while we're in the cozy studio. Mm.
Any questions off limits? Anybody?
Oh, never. Ooh, not on this nothing sacred.
Not in this nothing sacred. Nothing can be off limits. <That's>
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. Don't expect us to be nice. Don't expect it to be safe. And don't expect us to be politically correct. Nothing is sacred. We find the queer, profane, and cringeworthy wherever we can, here on Joy 94.9. Is Nothing Sacred?
Yes, Joysters, you are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. And as you know, nothing is sacred. Tonight we're talking to Fiona Patten, who's the sex party MLC in the Victorian Parliament, about the end of life inquiry that she was instrumental in working with the Andrews government to get an inquiry about. And so end of life is really things like advanced care directives, palliative care, pain management, and so on. And a number of countries in the world have this. In fact, the Northern Territory at one stage had it, didn't it? But the Netherlands do, Belgium does, Switzerland does. Is there anywhere else that...
Oregon.
Oregon's not, still hasn't been ruled unconstitutional or anything like that?
No, it's been operating very successfully for over a decade, and it looks like California may follow that model, and Canada has recently had a high court decision to say that that it is unconstitutional to prohibit a doctor from assisting someone.
Right. This has grown out of a sort of a civil libertarian platform for the Australian Sex Worker Party, hasn't it, Fiona? A dying with dignity type of approach. How did that first, you know, come about in discussions?
Look, I think soon after forming the party, which in honesty was kind of a cranky reaction to the internet filter, it's like, well, you know, you know what I mean.
How ridiculous.
Something
we're going to get it anyway.
We're going to, like, if you're going to do put this shit on us, well, we're going to take it to the ballot box and to the polling booth. But in doing that, we fast realised that we were a civil libertarian party and that dying with dignity was a really important part of that. You know, as they say, sex and death. But so we became involved in organisations and we spoke to different people and developed, I think, some very good policy on it, and then worked with Peter Short in the lead up to this state election to really push the issue of choices at the end of your life.
So can we go through some of those things? What is an advanced directive?
Well, it's making the decisions about the types of treatment that you want when you might not be able to articulate those decisions.
So while you're lucid and not out there with the fairies, you can fill in a form, can't you? It's a tabular thing.
That's right. And currently it's a fairly limited form. It's, you know, it's got a number of things, but it's still limited to a few things. And
do not revive and things like that.
Yeah, and it can be expanded. And I was just looking at this Canadian case where a Jehovah's Witness was in a terrible car accident. Her husband died. She's in being resuscitated with glucose and lactose and something, and they see this Jehovah's Witness card about do not give me transfusions. She's going into huge shock, and if they don't give her blood, she'll die. And the doctor decides to give her blood. And her daughter comes running in saying, stop that now, stop that now. And the doctor refused to. Anyway, she survived and is quite healthy now. But she sued that doctor successfully.
Oh.
And
didn't she think God intervened?
Really, yeah, if she'd thought about her belief system is as, you know, solid as she thinks it is. But anyway, so I think it would be good to advance some of our probably review our advance directives. And I think what some of the hospitals in Victoria are doing is very good, but I do think we're probably up to a time when we can review it. The legislation, I understand, is a good 15 years old, so...
Well, there have Things been have cases, haven't there, of doctors who've admitted to virtually performing euthanasias by
palliation,
by overdosing people with morphine.
I've had friends where that's happened.
I think it's more commonplace, don't you? Yeah,
that's right.
Than sort of people let on.
And I think this is what kind of, you know, one of the major, like, most common objections to people making choices at the end of their life like this is that, oh, you know, how can you make sure that it's okay? How can you make sure it's not being abused? How can you make sure that we're not going to kill off granny for the gold watch or whatever it is? Yet we've got a completely unregulated system going on doctors are making those decisions.
There is a big difference between pain management and palliative care, though.
Oh, absolutely.
They're two quite different things.
Although effectively morphine in high doses does the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I think when you look at palliative care is not necessarily right at the end of life. Palliative care can be...
It's about making people comfortable.
Yes. That's right. And it's about working with them in those last 12 months or 18 months.
It should include psychological care and and physical care and so on, medical care and a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
Whereas pain management is really about making sure that you don't let people lie around and get bed sores and that they are able to control chronic pain
And in my sort of travels around getting to know my electorate and meeting people, I've met a lot of palliative care volunteers. And they are just awesome. And they, you know, they hang out with terminally ill people or their families.
Special breed, aren't they?
You know, and it's just brilliant. And so they give their families some respite and they work with people. And, you know, and it's also, if you were to ask, and I'm sure if we, you know, ask the listeners, would you like to die in a hospital bed or would you like to die at home?
Yes.
Quietly and comfortably with your family and friends.
With your cat on your lap.
With your cat on your lap. That's right. Sure, Dr. Zeus should have done. We should do a palliative care book with Dr. Zeus, you know, with a cat in the lap.
I'd just be concerned there might be too many animals on you, Jim. Might get rather uncomfortable.
There are only four at my place at the moment.
Oh, fast becoming more and more.
Now, we have had a message. And we've had a message from our regular co-host, Steph, who is not here tonight, and she is doing end of financial year administration for Joy because she's the secretary
of the
board.
She's got the end of.
So it's sort of...
End of, sir.
And it's the end of board life for the year. And she says it's definitely not as much fun as being on air. Well, Steph, if you're not on air, send us a question. All the rest of you,
I think we should take that as a statement.
Send us a question too, onair@joy.org.au. 1300-JOY-949, speak to Robert. 0427-JOY-949 is the SMS number, and we'd love to hear from you.
Mm. Fiona, I wanted to come back to something you said a bit earlier, that the initial bill that I suppose everyone was hoping for, which was voluntary euthanasia, was defeated in the upper house.
Yes. Which was a reference to, was that a reference to the Law Reform Commission or just a...
This year it was a reference to the VLRC. Mm. A number of years ago, a bill actually went up and was defeated.
So I guess on the fact that it was actually defeated, what are the voting patterns like? How does it not get through currently?
That's a good question.
Did anybody vote for it?
I did.
And the Greens?
The Greens and... Some coalition members.
So there seems to be that they've got a conscience vote of some sort, do they? Or
well, they have a conscience vote on most what they would call issues of life and death, don't they?
Correct. Yeah. That's right.
Did any Labor MPs vote for us? Or
no, they didn't.
No.
No.
So do you think? I suppose what context do you think are the reasons that? A large majority of both Liberal and Labor don't support the bill at this current stage. Are there any reasons in Parliament that you think influence them in that way?
I believe that I can't speak for my colleagues personally, but the referral to the Victorian Law Reform Commission was problematic. One, because it took it out of Parliament, but two, and probably more importantly, is that the VLRC is looking at medical cannabis at the moment. And that is such an important issue. They've then got a whole bunch of other inquiries on. So I would have been fearful that this debate, this inquiry would have languished until late in the second year of the parliamentary sitting. All of a sudden you're in the third year. Oh, damn, there's an election coming on. And
if there were a VLRC reference, it would then come back to the Legislative Council and it would be then referred to a Legislative Council committee.
That's exactly right.
That's what happens.
We've just skipped a side. But I think actually within the Legislative Council, and as I say, this committee has been well-resourced, that we will be able to really hear the views of the community very well. And
there's a very broad cross-section in there now, isn't there? Shooters Party and DLP and Independent Labor and you and Greens and the Labor Party and the Liberal Party.
All and the Nationals.
And the Nationals. All in the
There's eight. There's eight political parties in the Victorian upper house at the moment.
Well, that's a pretty good representation of public opinion, surely.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that's right, and you look at European countries and they sit around 16, and I think the EU sits at 20-something.
New Zealand's up that number two now.
That's right, that's right, and they're about to have assisted dying debate there very shortly.
Yeah, but you're saying it's best not to confuse the issues and keep them separate so they don't go around the legislation merry-go-round forever.
That's right, and I quite like what we've done here in creating this end of life choices. And I think that in, you know, people like Peter Short, who was this great campaigner on voluntary euthanasia and, you know, died doing it, which would have been the way he wanted to, but died doing it. But he was always saying that it was the big, it was a big picture, and it was just, it was part of having that choice. You know, it wasn't necessarily a choice he was going to make, but if he had, and he had great palliative care, had great pain management, he'd got all his advanced directives, and this was just another thing in his toolbox.
So expanding it out into a sort of a decision tree for people rather than...
There's a, while we don't understand mental health as well as we should, there's a very big difference between saying to people, well, you can have assisted suicide for a mental health issue, or you can have voluntary euthanasia for a pain issue or a, an illness issue, a physical illness issue. And that's really where it trips up, doesn't it, a lot of the time. That it's that mental health thing, you know, where people say, oh, all the mad people will just want to go out and top themselves.
Yeah, thin edge of the web.
And
which
is why, it's nonsense, really.
Which is why I suppose all the legislation that is acting in other parts of the world always has very rigorous.
That's right.
You know,
it has psychiatric assessment and two lots of medical assessments usually. Certainly, the Dutch one does.
And independent from family, so the sort of fear of you know, killing granny off, or the fear of, you know, doctors wanting to free up hospital beds, that those fears can be allayed through, as you say, strict regulation and really good checks and balances. And
this isn't just euthanasia, though. From what you're saying, Fiona, it's also moving palliative care more into homes and having a sort of a graded system through which people can make choices that are more diverse.
Exactly. And you know what? I think it's I think it's worth noting that our community actually pushed some of that palliative care during the AIDS period, because we all of a sudden had like young people dying,
and we had young people dying inappropriately as well, who were committing suicide with no checks and balances on it, assessment of their of their mental health, and no assessment of their physical health. Really,
the number of you know, people I knew and friends who were really, it was about that palliative care. And I mean, some of the stuff that, that PLWHA and some of the early HIV positive organisations and AIDS councils were doing was about volunteering out there in people's homes so they could stay in their homes as long as possible. And I think we, I don't know, that I've never heard anybody else say it, I'm sure they have, but we did, I think, pioneer some of that palliative care and those advanced directives, people making those decisions for themselves, because, you know, it wasn't...
Well, we empowered patients, really.
Yes.
That's what we were doing.
Yes, that's exactly right.
This is the empowerment of patients. Yeah. This is a really meaty topic. We are going to go to some messages, you know, the things that keep us on the air, and then we're going to come back.
Call us.
And you're going to call us.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, we do have a podcast. This is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. Just go to the Joy website, joy.org.au, and click on podcasts, or click on Is Nothing Sacred, and you will find podcasts of us. And this program will be podcast in the next couple of days. And we just had, before those community messages, we had Patti Smith and People Have the Power, which was a strangely appropriate song when you listen to the words of
that
it.
One well, didn't I?
She's a wonderful piece of New York post-punk, that one.
Wonderful woman, yep.
The former lover of Robert Mapplethorpe, the very famous gay photographer.
Never and look at flowers in the same way after
you
Mr.
can't.
Mapplethorpe came.
Or
you?
Men in suits. And we are talking with Fiona Patton, who's the sex worker, the sex party MLC in the upper house in the Victorian Parliament, and that was her sultry tones you just heard then. And we're talking about voluntary euthanasia, because there's a parliamentary inquiry, an MLC, a Legislative Council inquiry into that in the next few weeks.
And we did get a question, didn't we?
And we have a question from Steph, our co-host, who noted that we'd been talking about the practical reasons, like avoiding expectation by greedy children, as being a reason for
that's a fear. Yeah.
For opposing voluntary euthanasia. But then she goes to the nub of something that I think is probably much more important, and that is, does our society have a fear of death itself and an aversion to discussing it? Do you think Fiona, that's a reason why. Have you heard that as a reason yet in your discussions with people?
Look, I haven't heard it as a reason to object to greater end-of-life choices. It certainly is something that we as a community probably don't discuss as much as we have in the past.
Well, we don't see it, do we? Because
no.
People die in hospital rather than die at home. And, you know, yeah. when our grandparents were our age, they would have been watching their parents and older dying at home. And, you know, lots of them had their maiden aunts and uncles living there. And
that's right.
They would have all been stuck out in that musty back room in the sleep out with the louver windows and the net curtains.
Yeah, and in fact, dying. There were those photos that they used to take where they propped up dead bodies, you know, to have the last photo with them before they buried them. It was quite a common thing.
Oh, but you come from Queensland, don't you?
No. Throughout the world, tribal societies still, you know, have the body and you have wakes. I mean, Ireland was famous for that as well, you know, having wakes with the body in the middle of the living room. But
look, I think it is... It is a reflection on our medicated society that is the case, that we do we hide all illness, not just death, and in fact illnesses, you know, we fight them, you know, we don't go with the flow, we don't work with an illness, we fight the illness. And I do think there is.
I've asked many of my friends whether they've seen a dead body, and most of them say they've never seen one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen many, but
I think open casket funerals are in fact a very good thing because it puts a bit of closure into it. Once you've seen a dead body, you don't think, oh, they're going to get up and walk over here.
Exactly.
Most of them don't look real at all because you've got so much makeup on.
But I think inquiries like this actually get us to start thinking about it. And you know, Jim, I'm hazarding a guess that you're, you know, at the young end of the baby boomers, very young end.
I don't think so.
He's looking flashy.
You know, or the early X, early Gen nice? X. But you know,
definitely a baby boomer.
That generation are now demanding something different. You know, they've grown up in a much more autonomous life. They've grown up with a lot more freedoms than their parents did. Life is different and they are demanding something different. And, you know, fear of death, I think, has something to do with it. And I think Steph raises a good point there. But I don't think that should be a reason to not discuss greater end-of-life choices.
Well, you would think,
in fact, the
you,
opposite.
Religious people should see that as a good reason to discuss it because they shouldn't fear death. If you're religious, you've got something to look forward to, surely.
I must say I can't imagine my parents as well, because they're the baby boomer generation. I can't imagine them at all not being able to have that option. Not that they may take it, but not being able to have that option, I just find that they'll just find it completely strange.
I think the other thing that we have been discussing a bit and is that also religion is becoming less and less important in our lives. Yeah. And I wonder if a lot of those death issues were around religious sacraments and were around this sort of belief that we had to keep the body there till the priest came and did whatever the priest did.
Last rites or whatever they were.
Yes, yeah. And all of those sorts of things. And I wonder, a lot of that ceremony and a lot of that conversation around death was linked to religion, and now that we are becoming less religious, and we have different sets of beliefs, that has also changed our relationship with death.
Yeah.
Well, I think it has. I mean, I watched my mother die at home through palliative in-home palliative care, and I would be horrified if I wasn't allowed to have that option. I have to say it was the most dignified thing that ever was.
And I suppose the thing
most cases.
Yeah, I suppose the thing to mention as well is that despite talking about all of the reasons that people don't support or may not support it, it still has, in any polling done in Australia, it seems to have a huge majority of support. I mean, are you across the figures on the recent polling? Or
The polling is vastly in the majority, and the opponents will suggest, oh, well, you just asked the wrong question, you know, and that's not the case, you know, and there is no doubt, and I think we could talk to anyone in the street, and unless you had, In fact, religion seems to be the only reason that people oppose it, and people oppose and want to close down the conversation.
People use religion to oppose really silly things like inquests and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, some religious groups are not allowed to have an inquest performed on a dead body on the basis that you'll mutilate the body and therefore it won't be perfect to go to the Lord and all that sort of stuff. It's craziness, really.
Yeah, I mean, look, if their God is as brilliant as he is, I mean, you'd think he could fix any corpse that came up to wherever the corpse ends up.
I'm
he
sure
could make
he
them
invent,
look pretty, you know.
The,
bit of hair and makeup and, you know.
Invented all the makeup, surely.
But then go to any hospital and death is something of a production line. You know, it has stages and phases and it's quite an established part of life, really. We're just hidden from it, aren't we?
We do like our religion topic. We do have a couple of messages and then we'll be right back.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hi there, Joysters. You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9 and we're talking to Fiona Patton, MLC, about voluntary euthanasia. And we've had a pretty wide-ranging discussion tonight. We've had some quite inappropriate and appropriate songs. And
play me.
So we've got around the table James on the panel. Hello, James.
Hello, hello.
And we've got Claire.
Hello, inappropriate song provider.
No,
and General Ratbag amongst us ratbaggerers. And Fiona, thank you for coming in, Fiona. That was terrific.
I feel very much at home, I have to say.
I suppose you've always been accused of being inappropriate, haven't you?
I have, and a ratbag from time to time.
One of our kind. So euthanasia, yes.
It is a big topic. You will be able to hear more of this if you go to our podcast, which will be up in the next few days. Thanks, James. Not this James here, the other James, who's a part of our team, who's a podcaster. And you can make your views known if you want any more information about this on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/isnothingsacred on Joy 94.9.
Now, I suppose, Fiona, while we still have you, is there any other things in terms of euthanasia, dying with dignity, or any other things that the sex party will be focusing on in Parliament, I suppose, in the next short while? Is there anything we should watch out for?
There is all of you, you know. What else are you doing?
I know, that's right.
Just in brief.
What am I doing this week? Well, I'll be speaking... I'll be speaking on a range of issues, but I think the alternative to the Lord's Prayer is something that I'm very keen on. Or, you know, personally, I would just like to get rid of the prayer, and I'd like us to say something nice, like "Let's try and do the right thing."
Let's be nice
while
to
we're
each
here.
Other.
Let's not try to tell too many lies, and try not to.
Let's use evidence to make some decisions.
That's right. Yeah. Let's respect each other and work towards what's best for the community, and then reflect on that.
Who's shouting lunch today?
Exactly. Where are we going? You know?
Respect the round.
But I suppose it comes back to that idea that the parliament is meant to be secular, and I suppose
right.
It's freedom for religion and of religion.
That's right.
It's
freedom
for both
of,
reasons.
Yeah,
and
freedom
from religion.
And from
yes.
religion.
It's particularly important with so many different religions coming to parliament too, isn't it?
That's well, and so many particular religions coming to Victoria. Yeah. I mean, and whether religious, like the diversity of our community is not reflected in the Anglo-Saxon Christian Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, you mentioned you were at a Ramadan dinner earlier
right.
today. Yeah.
You know, attended by hundreds of Muslims, non-Muslims, other organisations, but also Muslims from such a broad range of communities and cultures. And, you know, our Hindu cultures growing up, which also kind of makes me think, can we just take the religion out of the politics? Like, wouldn't that just be better if we just said, let's all reflect on our own religion, our own God or spaghetti monster or whatever it is that you want to consider and ask for guidance if that's what you want to do? Great. Do that quietly.
And then respect the cultures.
And respect all of the cultures. Yeah. And, you know, if you want to bring in a Hindi person to do something, or a Buddhist or a Muslim or something like that, well, maybe that's another alternative. My preferred alternative would be just to keep religion out of politics and out of the parliament.
Yeah.
I've got to say I do agree with you, and I was reading something interesting today that said that if you accept God with no evidence of existence, then you and you choose a particular one, then you actually have to choose logically every God. Because if there's no evidence for any of them, but you've got faith enough to believe in the God, then basically what you're doing is saying they're all possible.
But equally, atheism is a faith too.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's the lack of belief.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so
either,
Claire.
There.
I'm sorry. It's not. Well,
it's a rational point of view.
It's a rational belief, so therefore it's a faith.
Isn't it non-theist, though? I don't think
there's anything to believe when you... Like, if you say that not believing in something is a belief, well, that's...
That's agnosticism.
No, that's saying I don't know either way. Yeah. Saying, you know, I don't know what
non-belief.
To believe.
Non-belief.
Yes. Yeah. I just don't believe in some...
A deity.
It's how you conceive of, a theism, whether you believe it as... I agree with you, we're talking about a deity as such, But I think, a belief structure of any kind would...
I think that's an excellent point. We should take theism out of atheism. We need to call it something else.
Yes, I believe so.
And it's about ethics. You know, the fact is, I consider myself to be an atheist or a non-believer in the spaghetti monster in the sky or some magical being.
The bearded bug.
Talking snakes,
Yeah, or but I do think that I have an ethical base to what I do, and that's, my ethics are rational, thought through, reasoned out of my brain.
So true.
Some people might call that a humanist.
Well, perhaps I'm a humanist.
Yeah, I know, because everything you do is human, and you think like a human and
funnily enough,
I know. You're not the monster we thought you were.
This has
turned out to be a show on Jim's own belief
structures.
Fantastic.
No, it hasn't. If we were going to do a show on my beliefs, you would have heard a lot more about it.
This is true. Fiona, thank you very much for coming on the show with us tonight.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Hi there, Joycers. You have been listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's now 11:03. So we've finished the show, James.
That's it. What a great show, though.
It was a fantastic show, having Fiona on. So we had Fiona Patton, MLC, from
the
leader of the sex party in the Victorian Upper House, who has moved with the Andrews government a motion to refer end-of-life matters
end
to...
End-of-life choices.
To a Legislative Council committee, so hopefully we will see something emerge from that inquiry in the next few months. And next week, we've got a big show. We have a young Nigerian-American lesbian artist called Adejoke Tukbuyele from New York talking to us about LGBTI rights in Nigeria. It's some stuff about women's rights in Africa. So we're going to be calling her in New York. It'll be 8:30 in the morning for her, so she should be bright and bubbly. And so listen in if you want to hear that next week, people.
We're loving our international guests. They're
absolutely
fantastic. Mm-hmm.
And it makes our podcast list look so good too.
Oh, it does.
And so if you missed tonight's show on voluntary euthanasia and end of life choices, you can go to joy.org.au and follow the podcast links, and you will find us sometime over the next week. So do that, and if you've got any more questions, you just go to our Facebook page and ask them.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, James. See you next week.
Well, almost. And thank you for Stephanie for sending in the questions for us.
Yes, thank you.
Very good.
And thank you to our other listener, who David, who put his question on our Facebook page. So you can do that as well, and we'll ask questions for you. So if you want to know anything about LGBTI rights in Nigeria, just leave us a question or two for next week.
Fantastic.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.